Welcome to the Emmy Louie Show. I am your host, Emmy Louie, and today's guest we have with us is Holly Ziegler. She is the feng shui real estate expert, and she is author of the best-selling book, Sell Your Home Faster with Feng Shui, in its fifth printing, and is sold around the world. Welcome, Holly.
Thank you, Emmy. It's delightful to be with you today.
Thank you for being on the show again. And I heard about your latest event. It was at the 400 Realtors at the annual expo for the National Association of Realtors in Las Vegas. Tell me all about it.
We had a great time, and I'll tell you, it was so gratifying to see all those faces out in this big crowd. Yes, there were over 400 people who attended the it's the annual National Real Estate Expo for all the realtors across the nation. And this year it was held in Las Vegas at the Sands Convention Center with attached to the Venetian Hotel. So we were in this marvelously, beautifully feng shui'd area and space. And you never know, you know, how many people are going to attend one of these events, but it was standing room only, and the room was filled, and people were so eager for feng shui information. It was just great. We had an hour and a half class, and there really is, that's not enough time to do it all, but we managed to give them a lot of information.
What was the energy of that place? Because I know with different groups, there's different types of energy with real estate agents. How does that work with the convention? I mean, the real estate expo. How were the people?
Well,
what kind of questions did they ask?
Yes, I would classify them as, or describe them as, completely eager for information. When realtors are, you know, it's a business meeting, really. It's their livelihood, and that's how they earn their income, and times are tough right now because there's so much for sale. And the ones who attend these kinds of meetings are eager and hungry for new knowledge, for new wisdom, for new ways to help them in their work. So, you know, I would just say they were eager and ready and, you know, wanting as much information as they could. It was a good group, very happy group, you know, in terms of happy that they were there.
Mm-hmm. Now, with these real estate agents, I know I can, there's almost a somewhat of a stereotype. They're very people person, and they often, maybe you can clarify this for me, but I have found that real estate agents of the 10 or 20 that I have met, they're very people oriented, and they often work outside of their regular 9-to-5 hours, and they are meticulous with detail. And they're good in sales because they can show houses or properties to other people. And so what do they see in feng shui that they can feel that brings value to their own practice? What have they seen? Obviously, you have made a complete amazing contribution to being able to bring value to these people.
Well, they seem to see real estate as, you know, not only is it their livelihood, and yes, they're very people-oriented, and the good ones who have been in the business for, you know, years and years and years and have gone through the tough times, they're so hardworking. You know, I tell my groups when I speak to large groups like that, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart, that the letter R, which stands for Realtor, of course, is the hardest working letter in the alphabet. And it's just something that goes with the territory. Yes, they do give up a lot of their, you know, after hours, let's call it, and on weekends, personal time, because real estate never sleeps. When you're, you know, writing an offer and you need to get it submitted, you do it whatever time it is, you know, day or night, morning, evening, whether the soccer game is on or not, you go. And in this, let's say, you know, generation of realtors, the ones who are the most enthusiastic and the ones who are the most determined, they are the ones who will ride this, you know, challenging time out. And feng shui is another powerful tool in their arsenal of, you know, things that they need to have help them get the job done better, faster, smarter. So they see that now. Feng Shui has definitely come out of the closet in terms of, you know, being talked about. It was 5, 6, 7 years ago, you know, the Feng Shui would not have been at the National Association of Realtors. But, you know, I'm asked at these highest levels to teach around the country to very large groups, and they want to know about Feng Shui.
Now, you just said about the what's going on right now with the national real estate downturn, or maybe you see it a little different, but what's going on with that, and how do people react to that? How do real estate agents react to that, and how does that affect what you do with regards to this national downturn, or how do you see it?
Well, you know, I always go back to my own real estate background. I've been a hardworking, best-selling realtor for now 32 years. It's hard to believe, you know, all that time has gone by, but I think that's part of what makes me credible to these groups is that I have walked this path and I have been through, you know, incredible downturns in the market, and this one is going to get worse before it gets better, unfortunately. We've still got a lot of inventory to take into account, and the foreclosure market is going to increase. So, you know, you ask the question, how do realtors respond to this kind of a market? The smartest ones and the ones who are going to make it through this downturn, they use this time wisely in terms of going out and seeing all the listings they can while, you know, the phone is not ringing. So what you do when the phone is not ringing, you get in your car and you go out and you start looking at all the listings in your neighborhood, in your area that you work. And what this does, of course, is educate you firsthand so that when that buyer, that rare qualified buyer, walks through the doors of your office or calls you and tells you what they need and what they're looking for, you'll know immediately where to go to find exactly what they want. And you'll have them in the house of their dreams within probably 2 or 3 showings, because you will have done your homework, your previewing of all those listings out there. So that's what smart realtors do in times like this. And they get educated. They use their downtime for education and networking.
So if you don't know what to do, go back to school kind of thing?
Well, it's one of those things. You know, you can sit and stare at the wall or twiddle your thumbs or get upset or whine and complain. Or you can go out and do something about it.
Well, there still is a trend, and maybe you would know about more of that trend, is that taking classes is a very hot trend, or maybe that's a hot activity, and it's been that way for the last 10, 20 years, would you say?
Absolutely. And the smartest realtors are the ones who are the most educated and, you know, who spend their time getting more information, technology information, advertising information, and networking, of course, is huge, hugely important, because your best friend may have a listing coming up that is exactly the house that, or office or business, whatever, commercial, that your client needs. So the more you talk together and work together, you know, the better off you'll both be, because you'll sell her listing or his listing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. The smart ones get educated, and the ones who are in the business over time, year after year after year, they are the most educated.
Mm-hmm. And for real estate agents, isn't there a requirement that, I mean, it sounds like what you do is that you're certified. Isn't that a very prestigious thing to be certified in a way where real estate agents can use your credit for their continuing education? Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, exactly. You have to remember that education, like public education, like, you know, high schools and colleges and that, it's a function of the state. It's left up to each individual state. And in California, California realtors are required to have 45 units of continuing education units every 4 years. so every 4 years, and you have to have them broken down into certain categories. There's technology, there's service, there's informative, there's different categories of units that you can get. And you always have to take ethics, and there's a new one about housing, fair housing, that, you know, it's mandatory. So California does an excellent job of making sure their realtors, their professional agents, are well trained every 4 years. And each of the states does something very similar to that. I don't think it's every state does 45, but it's close. And so when I teach my units, I have 6 credits that go with my 6-hour intensive feng shui for real estate. It's called Real Estate Secrets for the feng shui secrets for the real estate top professional or top producer. And for 6 continuous intensive hours, they get drilled with feng shui. And by the time we finish, they're speaking feng shui. They've got their feng shui lenses on. They know how to identify properties that have great feng shui and those that don't. So that, you know, the idea is to learn about this ancient wisdom so well that you can identify properties and sell your clients properties that have good feng shui, so that years later when they go to move, you'll be listing that house that you sold them that had good feng shui, and it perpetuates itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
can you tell me, without divulging that much about your program, but what are some of the neat points about your program, and is there any other types of programs that real estate agents can, you know, what is outstanding about your program?
Well, you have to remember I have my master's degree in education, and before I went into real estate, my former life seems, how did I fit it all in? But I was a teacher for, 10 or 15 years before I went into real estate. So I'm an educator first and foremost. So my classes are designed with specific goals in mind, so that when the student has completed my course, they will understand not just, they won't just have this is good feng shui and that isn't, but they will understand the reasons why, so that it's like you give a man a fish and he will eat dinner for that one day. But if you teach a man to fish, obviously, he'll be able to feed himself and his family for the rest of his life. Well, I believe in that. So I teach my students the reasons why things are better or not so great in terms of feng shui. And they get example after example, and my PowerPoint has just hundreds of pictures showing, you know, this is better than this for this reason. And here's what to avoid because. So there are always underlying reasons for things. And I believe in teaching people the reasons behind the principles so that then they can use it and apply it in their future forever and always.
Would you say that there are some rules that or tips that would contradict each other based on the person's situation? Are there any kind of situations like that where you might say it's good feng shui for one person but it's not for another? Or how does that work for you?
Well, there are some general rules, of course, that apply, you know, some of the basic things that you want to try and avoid. For example, if you open the front door of a house and you're staring right at a staircase that goes up to the next level, that's not great feng shui, obviously, for those of us who are involved in this ancient wisdom, because the chi, the energy from the upstairs level, is going to rush out the door, and we don't want that. We want the chi, the energy, to slowly circulate throughout the entire house. And every time the front door opens, we don't want the chi to be seeping away, to be leaking out, so or rushing out. So that's just, you know, one of the many, many feng shui rules. But in terms of one person or another, I would say feng shui principles are pretty universal. And when we go into, say, Flying Star or Pa Chai, best directional feng shui, that's about direction instead of, you know, location, so to speak, certainly you go from the person's birth year, and then that will affect or influence the better directions for that person within their space. But that, I don't think that's what you're after here. I think you're after more general principles.
Mm-hmm. So we're here with Holly Ziegler, and she is the foremost feng shui real estate expert. I am Emmy Mui, and we will be back, and we'll talk more about feng shui tips. Welcome back. I am Emmy Mui, and you are listening to the Emmy Mui Show. We're here with Holly Ziegler. She is the foremost expert on feng shui and real estate. And Holly, what is your website?
My website is hollyziegler.com, and it's HollyZiegler.com.
Okay, good. And Holly is the author of the best-selling book, Sell Your Home Faster with Feng Shui, in its fifth printing, and is sold around the world. She has many other books that she's written and other CDs, and so you can visit that website to look at what she promotes and provides. And we were talking about Flying Star and birth year, and the neat part about California is very different from the rest of the country, too. So you have some different flavors going on there with California. And I was thinking about some of the celebrities, or many of the celebrities there, that probably would be interested in feng shui that would never tell anybody else, the public, that they are interested in feng shui. And I've often thought, well, a lot of I would think that celebrities, they do consult their astrologers because they think that, well, they're obviously stars in literal and figurative sense, that they have made it well to go to Hollywood and to live a nice lifestyle, and they look at their birth charts or anything like that. Can you tell us some tips about your birth date and all that, and what your reaction to what I said about people who live in California who are very fortunate to be in the entertainment industry?
Yes. The people who live in California, we are very blessed because of our wonderful weather and all of the beauty that California has. And, of course, the starlets, the stars, let's say, the Hollywood set, more and more of those people in the entertainment field and music business are absolutely fans of feng shui, and they really don't keep it a secret. It's sort of like a little status symbol if you've had your home visited by a feng shui practitioner. In fact, some of them have feng shui consultants that they consult with and seek information from, you know, on a regular basis, sometimes even weekly or monthly. And, of course, you know, the biggest ones wouldn't even dream of buying a property or looking. They take a feng shui consultant with them. And, you know, Donald Trump made no bones about it. Oprah Winfrey has expressed that she uses feng shui information. Tiger Woods, Brad Pitt, you know, the list is really endless. So it's an open thing. It's not something they hide. They talk about it because it's this fun little excitement, extra bit of wisdom that they feel they have on their side. So it's discussed openly.
So tell me about, like, anything that has to do with, like, the birth year. I know you mentioned a little about that. Can you run us through a simple exercise or anything that has to do with Flying Stars, some, like, one tip that has to do with that?
Sure, we can talk about that. There, you know, as there are different schools of chiropractic or different schools of architecture, you have different schools of feng shui. And one of the schools, or I call them layers of feng shui, because the whole basic goal of feng shui is balance and harmony within a space. And that's the case no matter what school you operate within. But there is a school called Pachai or Bazai feng shui, which is feng shui in time. It's like a subset of Flying Star feng shui, and it works off of your birth year. So the whole premise is that you have, when you are facing one of your four better directions. You have four great directions and four not so great directions. So when you're facing one of your better directions, you're really, what you're doing is you're cooperating with universal energy. From the time that your chi or your energy came upon this planet as you were born in that particular year, the energy of the globe, of the planet, was flowing in a certain way, more so than in another. And remember, feng shui is all about how energy flows. So as you are able to compute your birth, you're from your birth year, as you are able to compute your four better and not so good directions, then you are now in new awareness of what directions to face for greater confidence and focus, and you're just cooperating with your own natural energy and that of the,
Let's use an example year. Let's use somebody who is like around 55 years old. Would that be a good...
Okay, well,
now we gotta,
sure, we can do that.
We gotta, now we got to do
let
some
me, addition. Yes, let me just get
like
my chart
1952
here.
Or something like that.
Let me
well,
get
who would
my
be the,
chart.
What, so, what is the age of, let's just say, the average person who would be interested in learning about, I would think around in their 50s or late 40s or something, at least the average age, which doesn't exclude people who are younger or older.
Right. We can just start with, I'm going to the back of my... my Buy Your Home Smarter book, which has all of this information. And so the simplest way to do that...
And that's by you, Buy Your Home Smarter with Feng Shui, and
yes,
that's by Holly Ziegler.
Yes. In the back of that book, there are, in the appendices, here's the way to do it. You take your birth year. Let's just say... What do you want to say?
1952. So that would be somebody.
Okay. 1952. Did you say 52 or? I've got 62 here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter. Let's just start with 62.
Oh no, 52.
Okay.
I want to do 52 because of. Is that okay?
Sure. 52. Okay.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. So 1952, and you take the last two digits of that year, the five and the two.
Yes.
And you get a number. So in this case, 7, right?
Yes.
You've added 5 plus 2.
Yes.
All right. Now, let's just, for people who had, wait a second, I want to make sure I've got all this here. You're adding all the digits together. I do a shortcut, but I'm for the audience, I'm going to do the whole thing.
Oh,
so
okay.
You add 1 and 9 and 5 and 2.
Okay.
So you're going to get 17.
Yes.
And then when you add the 1 and the 7, you get an 8.
Yes.
Okay. So then you go to the chart, which if it's too challenging to do this over the phone, you know, there are just too many charts. But for the particular year, an 8, if you're a man, if you're a man, you would be in 19... Let's see. I'm going here. If you're a woman, you are... that is your gua, it's called. That is the one of the eight areas of the feng shui bagua.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then you then go to the chart, and 8... gives you your best direction would be southwest. Your second best direction would be northwest. Your third best direction would be west. And your fourth best direction would be northeast.
Okay, so let's stop right there. So when you talk about those directions, are you talking about sleeping or what is it?
Well, for example,
or
if you are...
deck.
It has to do with what you want to achieve. If you want to have focus and clarity and be operating in accordance with universal energy when you are, for example, in real estate, writing a contract or presenting an offer to a client, you want to face one of your best directions, especially your higher ones. Like in this case, southwest would be their first best direction. So if you can, when you enter the room, you have a sense of direction when you're walking in the house. You know that perhaps east is behind you. If the sun is rising behind you, you know that, that's got to be east. So you figure out where southwest is, and you try to have your chest, your chi, your like your heart chakra, facing that best direction. In a perfect feng shui world, that's what you would want to do.
Okay, in this scenario, you said that one of the directions is west, so you're looking at the sunset, so you would be facing west.
Exactly.
That's what you just
said. That's your third best direction.
Okay, and so all of this information is in Holly Ziegler's book, right? You're saying
yes.
In the appendices of her book called Buy Your Home Smarter with Feng Shui, and that's also on her website. Is this under Amazon, too?
Oh, yes. It's on Amazon.
Yeah, so it's under Amazon. So
mm-hmm.
Holly's last name is Ziegler, and her first name is Holly, so you can look at that book. And that sounds like a very exciting book, because I know that we need all the help we can get, right? When we're in harmony with nature and the world and all that. And thank you. I know I kind of put you on the spot, but thank you so much for that short explanation of just a few simple numbers. So what you just said was we were adding the numbers 1952. Let's say if you were born in 1952,
mm-hmm.
so you add 1952, and that equals 17, and then you add 1 and 7. So let's go back again. So we add, so it equals, 17, and then you add that number again, so which
mm-hmm.
is 1 plus 7 equals 8,
mm-hmm.
and then 8 is your gua number, and then you look in the chart for the female or male, and then there's good directions for that, and that's the directions that you face. Even is that also apply to sleeping or
yes,
not?
Yes, you're in this kind of feng shui, you try to sleep with your head pointing to your second best direction. That's in a perfect world. It's called your doctor from heaven direction, and as you're lying in your bed, your chest is pointing up to the ceiling, of course, or up to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So in that particular case, you want the top of your head pointing toward, I like to say, in a perfect feng shui world, you would have it pointing towards your second best direction.
Okay.
But any of your four best directions are good.
Okay.
You know, and you want to avoid the other four, especially your number eight direction. In the case of the person who has the gua 8 or the final number of 8,
mm-hmm.
their worst possible direction, if you want to use that terminology, would be southeast.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
But, you know, frankly, I like to focus on the positive whenever I can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to stay away from what I call fear-based feng shui. I just don't, I don't practice that myself. Unless people ask, and some people really want that information, but it's not something that I promote because I like to focus on the positive things in life.
Very good. We're here with Holly Ziegler, and she is the foremost feng shui real estate expert. I am Emmy Louie. We were talking about the Bazai. Is it called Bazai?
It depends on the school of feng shui, but it's called Pa Chai or Bazai.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's probably a Chinese equivalent that I can pronounce. And we are here with Holly Ziegler. We'll be back. We're back with Holly Ziegler, and I am Emmy Louie. Holly Ziegler is the feng shui real estate expert, the foremost feng shui real estate expert. And we were talking about the Bazai method in regards to getting the directions based on your birth date, and Holly wants to make some clarifications and basically refer back to her book, because there's a lot of information in the Buy Your Home Smarter with Feng Shui. So, Holly, what do you want to say about some of the exceptions?
Well, there are some exceptions to the general rule, and I didn't want your listeners to not have the complete picture. So if you're a man, you do things one way. If you're a woman, you do it a slightly different way. So I'm just going to take it right from the book here. For our man listeners, for all of them gentlemen out there, you take the last two numbers from the year of your birth. If the last two digits of your birth year add up to a two-digit number, 10 or more, then you add those together. The whole idea is to get to one single digit. Then you subtract that digit answer from 10. The remainder is your qua number or gua number. So let's take the example of 1965. 6 plus 5 is 11, and so I'm going to add those two ones together, and that equals 2. I'm going to subtract the 2 from the number 10. The answer is 8. So you'll go to the qua chart in the book that is the chart number 8. Now, if your numbers happen to add to a 5, gentlemen, we do not use a qua number 5. And for those of you who are 5, don't use that. You use the chart for number 2. I don't want this to get too confusing.
Yeah, but maybe we'll stop there.
These are the exceptions.
Well, and just refer back to your book.
Okay. All right. So that's fine. Just to know there are some exceptions, and you will find those exceptions in the back of the Buy Your Home Smarter book. It's very clearly written out and explained with several examples of each one. So that's the information.
Yeah. Tell me about that book as well as your Sell Your Home Faster with Feng Shui. And what are the differences? It looks like one is selling and one is buying, so obviously there's some kind of continuity with that. Can you tell me about some of the things in those two books?
Sure.
And why they're two different books versus one?
Yes, you know, after I had gotten into feng shui about 16, 17 years ago, and I saw how helpful it was in my real estate work, being a former teacher for many years, I thought, my gosh, you know, this is such important information. I can't keep it to myself. I want to share it. It was so good. So I decided, okay, I'm going to write a book. And at that time when I made that decision to write it, I thought I would combine the information for both buyer and seller in one book.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see immediately as I started to write and I made my outline of what I wanted to include that it was going to be two. It would be like carrying around a New York phone book to, you know, to have that kind of a manual, working manual that you could use at any time, you know, to refer to. It was too big.
Mm-hmm.
So I then decided, okay, then I'm going to write one for the seller, and that was the first book, that's Sell Your Home Faster with Feng Shui, and that's for all the people who have a house to sell or a business to sell and for the listing agent who is going to represent them. And for all of those people out there who are thinking of putting their house on the market or who have their house on the market, I sure hope they're using a real estate professional and not trying to do it by themselves.
Well, let's hear the little spiel about a real estate professional.
Well, you know, in my book, the blue book, the Sell Your Home Faster one, I call them people who don't use a realtor. I call them a riverboat gambler. And because they're taking a chance, like a game of cards, and you know, you're not that smart. You don't have all the answers that professional realtors do. You don't have the legal information. You don't have the forms that you need. You don't have the experience. You don't have the negotiation skills. You just want a professional in your corner representing you. You know, a doctor would never work on himself. He always gets another experienced MD to help him. You just don't want to represent yourself in a real estate transaction. It's too important. It's too expensive. You can't afford the mistakes, to put it that way. And I truly believe that. If all the listeners were part of my family, and I believe that they are in an energetic way, we all belong to one family. My best advice to a family member is to use a real estate professional.
So what you're saying is that those for sale signs by owner is not the optimal way to go?
No, it isn't. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
You're operating with a huge amount of information that is not available to you. And even realtors who are professional, they will hire another realtor to represent them, so that they can be detached from the transaction. It's very hard to represent yourself. I mean, you can do it, but I think
it's kind of like scratching your own back or tickling yourself, right? How can you really get tickled when you tickle yourself? Or
exactly, Emmy. That's a great way to explain it. Definitely.
Yeah, I know. I know. Even doctors, they have their own doctors too.
And sure.
So, mm-hmm. Even some architects have their own architects or mm-hmm. whatever it is, because when it's closer to home, Well, of course, because like if you think about for doctors, they can't be their own doctors because they're going to want to give them themselves the best diagnosis.
That's right.
So you're colored in a lot of ways. And it's all that's why we have friends and we have professionals and we have whatever, everything else under the sun to really give us a different perspective and be our mirrors and look behind our backs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
And so you said those two books are very different and they target different markets. And you said that, that your Sell Your Home is for the real estate agents and the Buy Your Home is for regular lay people. Can you clarify that?
Well, the Buy Your Home Smarter with Feng Shui, that was the second book. And that one is for professionals, real estate professionals, who are representing the buyers. They're the ones who have the buyer in their car and they're driving around different neighborhoods looking for either a new home or, in the case of commercial real estate, they're looking for a business to purchase or a commercial office building, let's say. So that's called the buyer's agent. And it's for that buyer's agent, and it's also for buyers who are looking for property.
So can you tell me a little, maybe a little tip that's in either one or two of the books that would get people excited about just what's in the books?
Certainly. The book is filled with, you know, specific examples. But let's just say, if you're the buyer, one of the things that you would want to avoid, one of the types of properties that you want to avoid, has to do with the kind of street that the house is sitting on. And if you're sitting, if the house that you might consider is sitting at a T junction, in other words, you have a road that's the top of the T, and then you have the stem of the T, a second road, another road that's aiming right at the house that's at the top of that T junction. T is in Tom now, is what I'm saying. So the T junction house at the top of that intersection receives a tremendous non-stopping amount of what we call Sha Qi. Sha Qi is fraught with anxiety. It's energy that is not in your best interest. It makes you uncomfortable over time. So the headlights coming from the street that point right at you day in and day out, especially, you know, if it's at the top of a very heavily trafficked intersection, that would not be a wise feng shui choice. And if you live at that kind of an intersection, and if you are already in the house that's at the top of a T-junction, you'll want to plant a very strong hedge or have a very serious retaining wall that will bounce that chi back away from you. I mean, there are ways around it, but in a perfect feng shui world, that would not be one of your first choices. I would encourage buyers to go on to the next property because that kind of a house will always have that problem. As long as their cars or the traffic exist, and traffic is only going to increase in the next, you know, few years, it's only going to get worse, I would steer my clients away from that kind of a property. And in the back of the red book, the second Buy Your Home Smarter book, there are a list of what I call feng shui deal breakers. And there is a huge list, room by room, the feng shui property checklist. And those pages are intended to be removed and copied so that people can use them over and over and over again. They're on heavy cardstock, and that was how the book was designed, so that people could remove them and use them over again, make copies of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that's just one example, but the whole book is just chock full of examples.
Mm.
Very clear, very thorough illustrations and photographs, diagrams, charts, checklists, mm-hmm. one after another. So.
And so it's sold around the world? Is it sold in Europe and all that? And
oh, yes.
Australia?
Mm-hmm. Well, especially through Amazon. You know, Amazon is quite an amazing resource that we have. I order through Amazon all the time. I do like to support my local small booksellers, however, whenever possible. But for people around the world who don't maybe have the book in a local bookstore, you know, Amazon is a great resource.
Mm-hmm. So taking a zoom out on the whole industry because you probably have a good pulse on what's going on in the real estate industry. And what are some of the things that you would like real estate, the industry, to do a little differently because of what you do as a feng shui consultant? Or are there certain practices that you wish that it could be changed or altered or improved or anything like that?
Well,
or is
I think a word
just hunky-dory and just great, which they probably are, but maybe you would like to see something changed.
Well, if I could change anything in the world of real estate, I would, frankly, it would be not so much for the realtors who I feel do an outstanding job for the most part. You know, there's going to be questionable apples in every barrel, but for the most part, the realtors that I come in contact with day after day, they're wonderful, hardworking, well-intentioned people. However, in the lending industry, and I know there are wonderful lenders out there too, as a rule, but I think the lending industry needs to be much more tightly regulated in terms of appraisals and allowing people to get in over their heads. And, you know, that's what we're seeing the result of now. People were talked into loans that they didn't really have a clear picture. I think they were taken advantage of.
Okay.
And that makes my heart hurt because now people are losing their homes as a result.
So we'll talk more about the lending industry. We'll take a little break, and we'll be back with Holly Ziegler. We are back with Holly Ziegler, and she is the feng shui real estate expert, and she's the author of Sell Your Home Faster with Feng Shui, as well as Buy Your Home Smarter with Feng Shui. I am Emmy Louie, and you can visit Holly's website at www.holly-ziegler.com. And we're back with Holly, and we were talking about the lending industry. So tell me, educate us about the lending industry.
Well,
in a few minutes.
Sure. Your listeners need to know that I am a 32-year real estate broker and in the Central Coast of California. So I wear two hats, really. I wear my real estate hat and I wear my feng shui hat. And it's a wonderful, unique, you know, combination of skills, and I'm very pleased that I've been able to have this information that I can share with listeners. Because from a real estate standpoint, once you buy a home, most of the time you have a loan that goes with the property that you have purchased. And if you have managed to get one of those loans that is going to jump in interest rate very soon, making it impossible for you to make your payments, before that happens, go to your lender. Right now, the lenders do not want to have a lot of real estate property. That's not what they're in the business of. They really don't like it. They don't want to have foreclosures. It's everybody loses. So my advice to your listeners would be to go to your lender, go to the manager of the bank or the manager of the loan department or the mortgage company, whoever holds your loan, and tell them what's going to happen. Be very upfront and just say, you know, in a couple months I know that this loan is going to start to jump or increase in rate, and I'm not going to be able to make those payments. Would you sit down with me and let's work something out so that we can renegotiate these terms? And terms simply mean the interest rate over whatever period of time. And they will work with you now. Countrywide is doing that on a nationwide basis, Countrywide Savings or Countrywide Home Loans. They're one of the nation's largest. I doubt that you'll meet with a lot of resistance because banks and mortgage companies do not want to have to foreclose. They lose, you lose, everybody loses. And so my best advice would be to go to them early and sit down with them and renegotiate that loan.
So but you're also talking about regulating the business. Is that what you're talking about? That's something different, right?
I think, that's a different subject because I'd like to try and help people, you know, who are facing this crisis right now. And for those of you who are already in foreclosure, go to your lender and say, you know, let's work something out here. You know, I can't afford $4,000 a month, but I can afford $2,500 a month or whatever it is you can afford. And they will stretch out the length of your loan, allowing you to make those smaller payments, which make them over a longer period of time.
I think what you're also saying, Holly, is that it's kind of like if you skip school. Instead of just not going to school anymore or not showing up because you're all embarrassed, is to go back to the teacher and say, well, this is why I'm skipping school. I might have some problems at home, or and give them a reason, and the teacher are more than willing to give you slack. That's what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
Instead of being all ashamed and not communicating.
Yes, that's the worst thing you can do, is to sit home and fret and do nothing and just let those bills pile up. Go and sit with them and explain and talk with them, and they will work with you. Nowadays, they will certainly work with you.
It seems to me that embarrassment is a huge emotion that people can't seem to be able to get a grasp on.
It
seems to be a universal emotion wherever people are,
sure.
And that really controls their behavior.
Well, it has to do with pride. You know, we don't like to think that we failed at anything, and not making enough money certainly is something that is an embarrassment. But everybody has hard times, and with medical bills, and, you know, we're getting far afield here, but, you know, soaring medical costs, people have one accident or one operation, and they're in debt thousands and thousands of dollars that they hadn't planned for. And most of the foreclosures, most of the bankruptcies that are happening across the nation today are due to medical bills. So it's a whole gnarled ball of yarn, you know, that we're faced with. And as a country, you know, we've got some tough times ahead. So, yes, I do think regulation of the lending industry is high on the list of national urgencies to get those lenders to be a little more, to have more of a conscience. Let's put it that way, to not take advantage of people. So,
well, it sounds like education is still key, no matter what we're talking about, whether it's dealing with your emotions, learning how to use money, or learning how to keep a better environment, and just overall good feng shui. It sounds like myself, I love just educating and having this radio show, and it sounds like one of your goals is also to educate people too, right?
Absolutely. It's the key, I think, for...
It is a key, because people make decisions based on what they know or what they don't know, or what they process. And so that's really important.
It certainly is. And the more educated you can get, the more successful you'll be, the happier you'll be. You know, because you'll be making decisions, and we're always a choice. You know,
with a bigger database.
Yes, exactly.
And you can choose not to use that information, of course, but you still have it.
Exactly.
Whereas you can't do that if you don't have it to begin with.
That's right. Absolutely.
I mean, if it's like a buffet of food, I mean, sure, you don't have to take everything from the plate. You have that option. But if you don't have that, then can you really choose?
Exactly.
So you're just opening up all of those options for people. So
yes.
Talking about options, what are some of the different options that feng shui consultants or real estate consultants, real estate agents can do for a living? Have you seen different kinds of avenues that people can go to? Like what you've done is specialized. Not only have you written a book, but you specialize with real estate agents. How do people find their niche in life, and how did that work for you? Is it usually something that is a very obvious sign, or is it something that you kind of pursued a little and then it kind of just hit you over the long haul? You know, people's life paths are very different. Do you have any advice on that?
Mm-hmm.
Or
yes,
is that another
I
show?
Of course I do.
We have about three more minutes left. But anyway, maybe you can give some inspiration to all the rest of us, and as far as how to live a better life and finding our passions and stuff like that, and how to have whatever we're doing and to have more passion in doing what we're doing.
Well, you know, I think it sounds trite, but I believe that it's fundamentally very true, is to follow and do what you love. Follow your passion. If you love to be with people, if you want to be in service, you know, find a job that makes your, my kids are used to saying it, I say to them, does it make your heart smile? You know, to me, that phrase captures the essence of what life is all about. You know, when we're giving, when we're doing something to help other people, we tend to forget about our own problems.
However, there are some things that sometimes there are things that you don't want to do, but the whole package is better. Like, I know that some people don't like contracts, but they like the art of selling.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So you still got to do it, right, in some ways?
You still have to do the paperwork.
Yeah, there's still some things, but you're saying like maybe 95% of the time enjoy what you're doing.
Yes, but for example, in my own case, I love to teach. When I see a large group of people, you know, I'm up on the stage and the room is filling up, it's almost like a high. I just can't wait because I'm so passionate about the information that I'm going to be giving them, and I believe it's really going to help them.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Challenge, a high, yeah.
Yes, it's just so exciting for me to be able to, it's like an opportunity. I feel very blessed to be in a position where I can help people on the level that I do and to reach hundreds and hundreds of people at one time, to be able to give of the knowledge that I know has helped me in my business tremendously. You know, once I first got into feng shui, I'd been
out of
real
time
estate.
I'm sorry.
Out of time?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, we're out of time, Holly Ziegler. Thank you for being
time.
On the show. You're always a wonderful guest on the show. So thank you so much. And that's hollyziegler.com, hollyziegler.com. And I am Emmy Louie. And thanks so much for listening. And see you next week.